Jesus Christ. And looking upon this story as it's told in Revelation chapter 5, we see some very interesting things that are happening here. And inside of this, we're looking at a book. Something's happening. This story about a planet that was lost. It was once given to the dominion of Adam and Eve, and now they were ruling and they were reigning. I mean, they were in dominion. They were in charge. They were walking with God the Father. So all of a sudden, one day, this serpent came along, this Lucifer, this guy, the devil. He comes along and he deceives Adam and Eve, and out of that deception, then the title deed of this earth is lost. It moves into the dominion, it moves into the hand of Lucifer, it moves into the hand of Satan, even so much that Satan one day stood up even to the Lord Jesus and said, "Jesus, if you bow down and worship me, I will give you the dominion and the glory of all of the earth, for it's mine." Jesus did not rebuke him. And so therefore, Satan, 1 Corinthians calls it Satan, the god of this world. All of a sudden, we see this book, the book of the inheritance of the earth, the deed to the universe, the deed to the lost planet. We're going to review a few verses as we move forward. Revelation chapter 5, verse 1, "And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within on the backside sealed with seven seals." So what are we looking at? We're looking at a book that was legally lost. We're looking at a book that when it was legally lost, there was lethal consequences that began. And these lethal consequences, death entered into this world. But wait a minute. Inside of the revelation, this revelation that's given by God to John, how did it come? It came from God the Father to Jesus, to the angel, to John. Now it's been recorded. Many people have lost their life over this book right here today. Many people are dying because of this book right here today. We're not talking about yesterday, we're talking about today. And so therefore, when we offer up the Word of God today, when we think about this book, remember, it is a book of life and it is a book of death. And so much that we have and we control, and we look within this book, and just in the Revelation, we find four different books that are mentioned. The first book that is mentioned is called the Book of Life. Revelation 3:5. "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angel." The Book of Life. Is your name written there? If your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that day in which you will stand before God, you will be sent to another place, a place that is called hell. If your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, then you will spend all of eternity with Jesus Christ in His honor and in His glory, and many other things we're going to see. So therefore, there is, according to this book right here, which men live and die for, in this book there is a book that is known as the Book of Life. Secondly, there's another book, and this is called the Book of Works, Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the Book of Life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead, wherein it was written, wherein it, and death and hell delivered up the dead, which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works." What are you talking about? I'm talking about the great white throne judgment. I'm talking about those who rejected Jesus Christ, those that did not accept and walk with Him and serve Him on this planet, which we call the lost planet today. On this planet, if you did not love and serve Jesus Christ, then every deed that you have ever, every word, every deed, every action is being recorded in a book. And at the great white throne judgment, all of those who have rejected Christ, they will stand before Him, and God, the Father, who has put Jesus Christ to be the judge, and before Jesus Christ, will open up a book of every deed so that no man will have an excuse. Every deed will be written in that book. And when a person says, "Well, I didn't do that," he will say on page 32, "Here it is. Roll the video. It's here. It's there. Word for word. Every action, every deed." So therefore, they will pay for the result of those works that are written in there for those who rejected Jesus Christ. The third book that we find in the Revelation is found in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 7, where it says, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." What are we talking about? We're talking about the book of prophecy. Inside of the revelation, the book of prophecy is God speaking, telling us today, these are the things that are coming. Therefore, the book of the revelation has book number 3, the book of prophecy. These things shall come to pass. It's not maybe, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. So therefore, the third book. The fourth book is the book in which we talked about last week. And inside of this fourth book, we see in Revelation chapter 5, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book that was written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals." We discussed it last week. We look at it in detail. We know that this book right here is actually a scroll, and the scroll right here has 7 seals. And next week we will begin to break the 7 seals, and we will look upon the things that were written inside of that book. So therefore, in light of this, what do we know about it? We know that saved people are going to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and we know that God has a record of it. And we know that this deed right here, this book right here, will talk about redemption, and this book right here will talk about restoration. Placing this lost planet back into the hands of the one in whom deserves it, honors it, and paid the great price and redeemed it. His name is Jesus Christ. So therefore, thinking about these words in preparation of those things that must come to pass. The second scene that we saw inside of the scripture was that of the cry for Redeemer. John cried out and he said, "Who is worthy," in verse 2, "who is worthy to open the book and to loose the 7 seals?" The cry, and then the cry of defeat. No man in heaven, nor in earth, nor under the earth was able to open the book, neither to even look upon it. And there was the cry that came out, and John wept out much. In verse 4 he says, "And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open the book, to read the book, neither to even look upon it," until all of a sudden we heard the great cry of victory coming out. "And one of the elders said unto him, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof." What do we have here? The cry of victory. The cry of victory. Who is he? It's none other than Jesus. Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Scene 3 took over. Inside of heaven, we see now a lamb which had been slain from the foundation of the world. And in verse 7, "And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne." Why did he do this? The lion came. Why was a lamb presented here? Inside of this lamb, Jesus Christ was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Why could he redeem this? How come? What right? What authority did Jesus have to redeem the lost planet? And we discussed last week, he is worthy because of creation. He is worthy because of the cross. He is worthy because of the conquest that Jesus defeated. He created this world, he died on the cross, and he rose from the grave. Therefore, he is worthy to unseal the book. He is able because he's omnipresent. He is able because he's omniscient. He is able because he's everywhere. He's all powerful and he has all knowledge. He is worthy to unscroll the book and to hold the title deed of the planet that was lost. And he's also willing. He's willing what? He's willing to redeem. He's willing to break the seals. And he's willing to come back again. He is worthy. And he's coming back. He is coming back. And when he comes back, he's not coming back as a lamb. He's not coming back as a child in a manger, born of the Virgin Mary. He's coming back as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, that was review. Are y'all ready? Let's move forward now. Let's go and see what is happening. What is happening in this picture? Scene 4 takes place, and we're looking at verse 8. "And when he had taken the book, the four beasts..." Now, do y'all remember those four beasts? That's not four literal beasts like Satan, who's going to have his horns and all that kind of... It's four living ones, four creatures. "And the four living ones," the four beasts, "and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb." Remember the 24 elders? Who do they represent? All the saints. 12 of the Old Testament, the patriarchs, the 12 apostles of the New Testament, 24. So therefore, we're looking at all of the redeemed. Here's the representation. All of the redeemed of mankind, all the redeemed, all the saints, all the born-again people. The Scripture says, the 24 elders, they fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden veils full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Two things are happening inside of this. As we begin to look at the prayers right here, as we begin to see the Scripture unfold, how should a person worship? When you come today, what can you lift up to the Lord Jesus? In heaven, this is what we will see. We will see those with harps. In other words, can you imagine me playing a harp? God said I can, so if He said it, buddy, I'm going to do it. And the 420 elders, we're going to be at... But what does the harps represent? The harps represents praise. They are singing praise unto God. When we come to worship the Lord, two things are definite. One, there needs to be the instrument of praise, a redemption. Redemption, He hath taken the book. He hath redemption, He hath redeemed the book. He hath paid for it. Righteousness, because redemption is a song that we will sing. Righteousness is going to cause the knee to bow. We saw the 420 elders as they fell before the Lamb. And the redeemed know how to praise because every one of them had a harp. What about you? Is praise a major part of your life? Learn how to praise God. I didn't say learn how to sing pretty. I said learn how to praise God. Because in heaven there will be instruments of praise. But wait a minute. Not only will there be the harps, but can you look? Can you see? Everyone had a harp. And then they had golden vials full of odors. What was this? They brought forth a veil. They brought forth a shallow cup. They brought forth incense that went up unto the Lord. We would think about incense as something that smells nice. But what was inside of the cup? It was the prayers of the saints. You know what's inside of that cup? Have you ever thought about it? Let me see. Have you ever prayed the Lord's Prayer? Yeah. You prayed the Lord's Prayer. You said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Let me ask you, is God's kingdom come? Is God's will being done all over the earth right now? What would you say? No. What happened to that prayer? Is it going to be answered? Do you pray prayers that are not going to be answered, or are you going to pray prayers that will be answered? The Bible teaches us right here that the prayers that we pray are as though in this cup. It is a sweet smell that comes before God the Father in heaven, and these prayers are going to be answered. When you pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, God the Father said, so be it. It is done. Has it been accomplished yet? Not yet. So therefore, when we come before God the Father, what do? We come with Him with praise. And what do? We come before Him with prayers. You know, my grandmother, she prayed a prayer over me. And God is still answering that prayer. My dad, when some of the last words that he said to my son Lee, when Leah told Papa, said, Papa, I don't know what to do. And my dad said these words, just knocked me out. He was a believer. But he came to that voice that when Dad spoke, he spoke with a distinct voice when he wanted to communicate something. And he said, pray. One word. He said, pray. Why? That's gone on. The prayers that we prayed are still being offered up to the Father. When I pray for my children, I pray that each one of them will be saved and serving. When I pray for my grandchildren, I pray that each one will be saved and serving. Are those prayers being answered? They are still being answered and they will be offered. And when God calls me home, will those prayers still being answered? Yes. They are in the veil and they are a sweet smell unto the Father, because this is God's will. And He wants us to pray. To pray. Sometimes we feel like, well, does God hear my prayers? Are they being answered? Where are you, God? Are they lost in space? The answer is no. They're not lost. They're a sweet savor. And when the 24 elders stood before God, they lifted up that prayer. So therefore, how can we honor God? We can praise Him with instruments and with voice. And how can we honor God? We can pray, because He is able, He is worthy. And out of this, when we continue to pray, then all of a sudden, something comes over us, as you will see in verse 9. And the Scripture says, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred, every tongue, every people, every nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. Scene number 5 in this book of the lost universe. There's a new song. You know, we like to have something to sing about, don't you? Don't you like to have something? You like to have something to sing about, and you like to have someone to sing about. That's what's here. We have something, Jesus. We have someone, Jesus, what He's done for us. And they sang a new song. Did you know, have you ever noticed that the angels don't sing? Have you ever noticed that? What do you find in the Bible? You find the angels speaking, but not singing. They are saying, but not singing. What do you find the saints, though? But the saints, we will sing a new song. Why? Because we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And there's one subject to that song, and that subject is Jesus Christ. There are two themes to that song. One is Christ is the Redeemer. Thou art worthy in verse 9. Thou art worthy to take the book. And Christ the Avenger, and to open the seven seals. Inside of this song, it's the song of victory. There's four stanzas. The Scripture says, for Thou wast slain. In other words, Jesus died according to the will of God. Jesus paid the penalty for our sins. Jesus, the second stanza, Jesus redeemed us according to the will of God. The Scripture says, and has redeemed us to God by the blood, and out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. I love that part. More and more. I read a Scripture the other day that said, pray for all Christians. Pray for all Christians. And did you know, I started thinking about that. And the Japanese are praying for us. And the Chinese are praying for us. And the Hispanics are praying for us. And the Latinos are praying for us. And the Russians are praying for us. And the Ukrainians are praying for us. And the South Africans are praying for us. All of a sudden, I am seeing and feeling and sensing something different. They are praying for us, and what are we? Praying. Exactly right. We are praying. And we are praying for them. The Bible says, pray for all Christians. Why? I tell you what, we need to be praying that. I heard a news clip this last week, and I'm not getting political now, but on one of the clips it says that as though this guy is going and he's speaking, as though they are trying to make a one world government. That was on the newscast. A one world government. We need to be praying. We need to be praying. What is God telling us? Sing a new song. Let's sing Down at the Cross, for he was slain. Let's sing redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Let's sing I'm a child of the King. Let's sing we shall wear a robe and a crown. Let's sing these songs because we got to get real, folks. Are you real? Or do you feel like that you're just kind of floating through life without meaning and purpose? Let me give you four things that are real. Number one, real people. I could ask you to do this, but some of you would do it too hard. I'd say, reach over that person next to you and pinch the fire out of them. Okay. And what are you going to have? Real people are going to say, ouch, okay? I mean, all of a sudden, you're going to feel it. It's real. Are you real? Yes. Hey, when we start talking about heaven and we start talking about the future, we are talking about real people, and we could say we, the people of the kingdom of God, we are talking about real people, but we're also talking about a real earth. We shall reign. You see, this old body is going to go back to the dust, but let me tell you, it's not over with. This body is going to come up out of the dust, and this body in its glorified state is going to be here on this earth. So when you think, man, when I die, I'm through with this place, you better mark that one back off. Because you're not through. Because there is going to be the millennial reign of Christ, and we shall live on this earth for 1,000 years. It's a real, we're talking about real people. We're talking about a real earth. And we're talking about a real Christ because we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and this real Christ who is now ruling and reigning, what is He going to do? He is going to make us a part of a real kingdom. When Christ sets up His kingdom on this earth, we shall be doing two things. Number one, we shall be kings. Kings are those who are in a place of authority. Number two, we shall be priests. Priests are those who have access to Christ. They have access to God. So what is He going to make us? Real people are going to be on a real earth, following the leadership of a real Christ in a real kingdom. That's what God has prescribed for every born-again believer. Imagine that. It's not over. Sometimes we want to think about the mind hits death is the end. Folks, it's not over. And when we begin to understand this, we ought to say, hey, look, because it's not over, I need to live for Christ today. I need to serve Jesus today. I need to be praying today. I need to be on this earth serving God today. I need to get fired up over Jesus Christ because it's not over. After the 1,000-year reign, then the new heaven and the new earth. Then the earth will be destroyed by fire. But that's after the reign of Christ. Folks, we need to be sharing with people now about Jesus. We need to have our life so that our voice will be like the voices. Look in verse 11. And He said, because inside of this, I want you to see the voice right here in verse 11. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the beast and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. How many is that? Amen. It is a bunch. So what does that tell us? That tells us there's room at the cross for you. We're not talking about a few people here. We're not talking about a country here. We're talking about millions and millions of believers for Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that? Can you get the excitement in there? I remember going one time over to Atlanta to Promise Keepers, and there was thousands of men and boys. That's all it was, men and boys in that place, in that Coliseum. And we started singing some of those songs. It was just a holy praise unto God, lifted up. But folks, that can't even imagine. Have you ever been to a football game where the right team was winning? I'm not going to say which team that was, okay? And all of a sudden they get to yelling, they get so excited that you can't even hear. I mean, those guys on the football field, you got to feel sorry for them a little bit. here he is, the quarterback's trying to tell him whatever play it is, and he can't even hear him because of all the yelling that's going on. Folks, that don't even begin what it would have been. That may be 100,000 people. But let's make millions out of that. Millions upon millions offering up praise to God. You can see it. It's right there. And so what do we see? And what are they saying? Oh, we can hear it in verse 12. And the scripture says, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power. Hey, who is Christ? He has the power. He died on the cross. He overcame death. Death no longer has a hold on him. He has riches. Jesus died, rose again to receive now the title deed. He has the riches. Psalm 50 verse 12 said, if I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. So therefore the psalmist said, hey look, Jesus owns it all. Riches and wisdom. Jesus died on the cross. Now he has experienced death and he has experienced resurrection and now he has the wisdom. He has the wisdom and the strength. He has the power over death and honor. Jesus died to receive honor and he lives victorious and glory and blessings. What can I say? What can I say? When we go out this week, what are you going to hear? Man, it's 100 degree weather. What are you going to hear? Oh, those high gas prices. What are you going to hear? Man, I got one more week before school starts. What are you going to hear? Boy, I'll be glad when the weekend gets here. What are you going to hear? Man, I'm so tired. Hey, what are you going to hear? In the course of that week, in the course of that day, may we say blessings, honor, glory, power, riches unto the Lamb, the Lamb. Because if not, look in verse 13. In verse 13, all of a sudden we find the scene changes. And then all of a sudden we pick up the creation in verse 13. And it says, and every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all them and all that in them hear, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power unto him that sitteth upon the throne, unto the Lamb forever and forever. All creatures of our God and King is going to do what? Is going to give glory to the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Now let's put this in proper perspective. You know any Muslims? I do. I work with several of them. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to die without Christ if they don't get born again. And one day they're not going to cry out, Allah. One day they're going to cry out, Jesus is worthy. Wait a minute. Where's Adolf Hitler today? In all probability, no, not all probability, I think it's fact. Where's Adolf Hitler today?
Hell.
He's in hell. Where's Mussolini? Hell. Where's Alexander the Great? Where are these other great kings? Where are all these presidents? Where are all these guys that's gone in history? Where are they? Everyone, the Bible said, who is going to give praise? It says, verse 13, and every creature. That means, folks, when you draw your last breath, it's not over. Those who are going to be burning eternity for hell, in hell, they are going to bow and say, Jesus Christ is worthy. Why not say it today? Why not make Jesus Lord of your life today? So that you don't have to say Jesus is Lord and think upon the great avenger. You can say Jesus is Lord and you look upon Him as the great Redeemer. All creation will say Jesus Christ is Lord. In conclusion, I want you to do two things for me. Okay? One, I want you to touch your knee. Okay? Just touch your knee. Good. Second thing, I want you to stick out your tongue. Okay. Stick it out. This knee and this tongue is going to give praise to Jesus Christ. Got it? And that's what he said. Let's give him praise and honor. Jesus, as we come before you this morning, I thank you, God, that the prayers that are in the veil, you hear and you're answering, and they're sweet to you, Lord. I thank you for Jesus Christ, who is the ruler and the reigner. And we look upon him as being the Redeemer. And today, Lord, I'm excited because together we as Christians have shared together the good news that it's not over. Even after the short little vapor of life that we're living in now, how fragile this life is. It's not over. So, Father, I pray for everyone that's in here right now that they know you as Lord and Savior. I pray for our Christian brothers and sisters scattered throughout this world who this day is giving you praise and honor. I pray to encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ. And Father, for that one that does not know you as Lord and Savior, I pray that during this hour they will accept you, realizing that when this old body goes back to dust, it's not over. That believers are going to rule and reign with Jesus Christ because you said so. And I thank you for that. Now, God, may your people be blessed and honored in Jesus' name. Amen. What about you this day? Is Christ your Lord? Give him your life. Prayer altars are open. Hey, what is God placing upon your heart to do today? Let's stand together and sing as people make decisions.